There we go. Just a few reminders for events for Holy Week this week, Monday, Thursday, 5 o'clock, and there's a meal. So this is a sign-up sheet at the back if you are attending, so we know how many people are coming, and there's also a sign-up sheet if you're able to help with the meal, with parts of the meal. So that's back there. Good Friday is 3 o'clock service. And a couple other things. Friday, April the 5th, we're looking for help in cleaning up the kitchen downstairs, so if you're available, we're going to hear from 9 until noon. And also at the back, there's a sign-up sheet if you can help out for the fundraising dinner for Encore that we're helping out with, and that is Saturday, April the 6th.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. It's good to see you again. As we begin our time of worship this morning, we take time to remember that we are situated on the traditional lands of the Anklehone. We acknowledge and give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people on this land, and we are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect. So before we call each other to worship, I'd let you know, if you don't attend regularly, one, or even if you do, this is Palm Sunday, so it's not our typical Sunday service. So if you're new here and you're going, what's going on? Other people around you are likely saying the same thing, because it's just a little bit different. We're going to be having different characters tell the story of the Passion this week. So there's that happening. Also, if you don't worship with us regularly, pieces of our liturgy are all on the screen. The words in regular print are what I say by myself. What's in capital letters, we all say together. So let that be a cue. And we rise for hymns if we're able, and we sit for pretty much the rest of it. And then at the end of the service, we listen to the postlude before we get up and leave. Unless, of course, you're in a hurry, in which case you're always more than welcome to take your leave. And I think that's it for how our service goes. Let's call each other to worship. So people of God, we gather to worship to practice joy, not because our lives are perfect, but because joy is resilient. It is God's gift for every season and the wellspring at the heart of our faith. When our sins are heavy, when floods rise and fall, when hope surprises us, when God sets people free, when Jesus heals us, when we are called, when we endure, we practice joy together, and God is with us. And as we practice joy and as we worship, we remember that we are partners and participants in the work of God. Together, we are committed to helping build a city where no one journeys alone. Let's pray. God, this is the day when everything changes and we are pulled along, bodies dancing, voices singing, calling for you to save us. In the heart of the world, there is no war horse for you, only the quiet steps of a colt. God of our hosannas, we are swept up with exuberance and quiet joy, trusting that you will save us and set us free from everything that saps our lives. Draw us into your sacred story. Open us to what you will reveal in grief, in death, in awe. Show us that you are here at the heart of it all. Amen.
Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. When they're approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt who has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when they had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
I invite you to join together and sing Hosanna loud, Hosanna. And if you feel so inclined, you are welcome to move around and wave your palms. And if you want to stay quietly standing or seated, then you are welcome to do that one too. Let's join together and sing. We remember the palm parade with joy. Shouts of Hosanna rang out as folks confessed their belief in God's saving power. However, as the days progressed, the tension between Jesus and the folks in power at the temple grew. One night that week, as Jesus was eating at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came over to him with a jar of expensive ointment and poured it on Jesus' head. To some, this seemed an extravagant waste. For Judas in particular, this was the tipping point. And he left that place looking for a way to betray Jesus. For Jesus, however, this was a blessing. He knew the authorities were out to get him. And this was a kindness and an anointing that for the woman reflected the extravagant gift of Jesus' presence. And for Jesus, sustained him through the days to come. So knowing that we sometimes find ourselves in a place similar to the disciples that night, we turn to God with our prayer of confession, remembering that the merciful one already knows everything we confess. By naming our sins and hearing words of forgiveness, we are drawn into deeper relationship with God and with one another. And so let's bring before God what we have done wrong and what we've failed to do, trusting that we will receive the joy of forgiveness. Let's pray. God of abundant goodness, we have hurt those we love, those far from us, ourselves, and your creation. And what we do and what we neglect, we cling to disappointments, judgments, and failures, and refuse to enjoy what you give. We are too content when injustice, violence, and hardship plague our neighbors. We ignore the gift of your presence in times both tragic and triumphant. Forgive us for what we have done and for what we have failed to do. Pour out on us the joy of your presence and heal what we have harmed. And so, friends, receive these joyful words. You are entirely and completely forgiven of all your sins. You are entirely and completely welcome as God's beloved child. You are released to live out God's love in a world that needs such joy. Thanks be to God. Let's join together and sing "A Prophet Woman Broke a Jar." Of course I knew who was asking to use my upper room. It was the teacher, the one who's been healing us from our ills, liberating us from those things that keep us from truly living, helping us to reconnect with God. The teacher, the one who's been bringing us joy and hope, who leaves us without a doubt that he's been sent by God. And so one evening as I was listening to his teachings, I went up to him and said, "Teacher, if ever you need a place to stay, or even just to gather with your friends, the 12, you're welcome to use my guest room." So of course I knew who was asking when those two disciples followed my son home, asking to use the guest room where they could prepare for the festival. That evening when Jesus and the 12 were gathered and I went to check on them, I wanted to see if there was anything they needed. I confess, I didn't actually make it in the room. I stood there transfixed as I encountered a solemn moment. As they were eating, Jesus turned to the 12 and told them that he knew one of them was going to betray him. I thought of it. The rest of the disciples seemed as shocked as I was. But the meal just carried on, with Jesus taking a loaf of bread in his hand and saying the oddest words. He tore that loaf in two and passed it around for everyone to eat, saying, "My heart broken for you." In the same way, he took a pitcher and a cup and poured out some wine. And he kept pouring and pouring long after that cup was full. Let me tell you, there was wine everywhere. "My heart overflowing for you," he said that time. You could tell his friends didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Neither did I. It came clearer in the days to come, though. You love something or someone with all your heart and spirit. And some days that's just how it is. You're torn up, you're poured out, and you wonder just how things are going to work out. I invite you to join together and sing "Eat This Bread," and we'll sing it through twice.
A Young Man's Reflection, based on Mark chapter 14, verses 34 to 52. I wasn't part of the in crowd. I wasn't one of the 12. But when I listened to the teacher's parables, he spoke to my soul. I wanted to learn more about him and the work he was doing. That's why when I happened upon them that night, after they had eaten, I followed them, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. The teacher seemed disheartened as he was telling the disciples how they were going to be deserters of his cause by the end of the night. They didn't get it. I didn't get it either. How did he know? But no, he did. And it was like the weight of the world was crushing him. He even said to his disciples, as he asked them to stay awake and pray with him for a while, "It was getting late, though, and try though they might, they just couldn't stay awake. I didn't know whether he knew I was there or not, but I bore witness as the teacher prayed, emptying his heart in the quiet comfort of the dark olive grove. It never occurred to me that someone who taught so well, laughed so much, brought joy and wellness to all he met, and ate and drank with the best of them, could feel that much pain and isolation. The words you prayed stick with me to this day. Can't you take this cup from me? I don't want to die, but I trust you, God. I will do what you ask of me." So much trust, even alongside so much pain and loneliness. It is no wonder that the teacher could bring healing and hope with the compassion and empathy he must have had. I've reflected on that in the years since, but I didn't get much of a chance then, because moments later, a crowd came up to arrest Jesus and take him away. The disciples all fled in terror, so did I. They came close to catching me, had me by the back of the robe even, until it tore, and I ran away, leaving them still hanging on to my clothes.
The Servant's Girl Reflection, Mark 14:53-72. I never forget a face. It's part of being a servant. But our faces don't matter at all, just our hands and our feet. How much can we carry? How fast can you run? But being faceless, that's what makes me remember. And this face, this poor guy, I thought to myself, it doesn't matter what side of the fire he stands on. The smoke is always getting in his eyes. There he was, squinting and the tears rolling down. I knew I'd seen him before. My brother had brought him and his gang by my mother's hotel one time. "I remember your face," I told him, "though I never knew your name." And he shrank farther back from the fire into the shadows. He shook his head like he didn't want me to hear his voice. "I remember you too," someone else chimed in. "You were there in the garden with him. Late to be picking flowers, wasn't it?" Just about everyone in the high priest's courtyard heard that one, and they all moved a little closer. And the guy with the unforgettable face backed himself right into a corner. "A disciple," someone sneered. "Follow this," they jeered as they poked at him. "I don't know him." The last word stuck in his throat just as he managed to slip through the mob. They didn't go after him. It was just a game to them. But I figured out the last word, the one he choked on. "Anymore. I don't know him anymore." That's what he said. I never forget a face. Sometimes I wish I could.
I had a disturbing dream last night. Actually, it was terrifying. I was abandoned by all those who loved me. My children were in trouble, and my house was on fire. But no one did a thing about it. Why are these things happening to me? I cried out in the dream. Then the door to my burning house opened, and out walked the two of them, my husband Pilate and the Galilean, the one the local authorities handed over to my husband. I noticed that the Galilean had some bruises on him from when my husband's soldiers had struck him. Then my husband and the Galilean walked right by me. They didn't even notice me. I could hear them sharing stories about how hard it is to be a leader these days. How no one understands the compromises you have to make to run an empire or a movement. I screamed at my husband then, "Don't you touch him. He's innocent. You're the guilty one." My husband said nothing. He just walked to the edge of my dream, put out his hands, and shrugged his shoulders to indicate that it wasn't up to him. And then he disappeared. The Galilean turned to me and half smiled as if to say, "Isn't that the way it always goes? The guilty picks the tunes and the innocent pays the piper." When I woke up, I was confused. Who is guilty and who is innocent? But I do know that my husband, Pilate, can't just walk away from this one, pretending that his hands are clean. It's like the whole world is holding its breath, and if Pilate makes the wrong move, we will all be blown away.
Cedrus Labani, especially good at producing feelings of euphoria. Comaphora, reduces the heart rate, provoking a state of unconsciousness. Mix them together in a wine suspension, store in a cool place, and you've got the very thing to ease the crucified on their way. My mother taught me to mix these herbs as her mother taught her. And unless the world makes a remarkable recovery from its sense of duty to inflict as much pain as is possible upon its citizens, one day I will teach my daughter everything I know. And by then, I hope to know what just passed between us this morning. We were in our positions and waiting at Golgotha, the place of the skull, near where they would crucify the men. It was hot already, and as we usually did, we offered the condemned a chance to take a sip of our special drink. The Galilean didn't want any, though. He just stood there looking at me. When I went to give him the wine, he turned away, but he turned back again just before they struck a fist in his ribs. Never forget, he whispered to me. The realm of God is among us. Peace be with you. The realm of God? Peace? Here he was, turning down the only peace he was going to be offered this side of paradise. And he was the one saying shalom? And exhausted as he was, he said it like he meant it. And even there, facing his imminent death, he could still offer peace because he still had it to give. How he still had it, I couldn't tell you. But he did, and he gave it to me. And those close to me have said that since that day, I'm different. There's something in you. It's more than healing. It's a presence. Whatever it is, I know it's not mine, but I know where it came from. Shalom to you, strange, strong Galilean, and to all of us who struggle with you.
When it was noon, darkness came over the world, over the whole land, until 3 p.m. At 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, listen, he is calling for Elijah. And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait. Let us see whether Elijah will come down to talk to him. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, as the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that his breathed his last, he said, truly this man was God's son. Then there were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and the younger of the Joses, and Salome. They used to follow him and provided him for him when he was in Galilee. Then there were the many other women who had come up with him from to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph brought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn from the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of the Joses saw where the body was laid.
Let's pray. Oh God, the story of Holy Week is our story. We find fragments of it playing over and over again in our lives. Fragments of joy, anticipation, hope, angst, deception, reckoning, despair, and death. Hearing the story again, we are reminded of your presence through the many and varied times of our lives. We are reminded that you are a Savior who doesn't shy away from the grit of life, that you share fully with us. And you don't leave us because the going gets rough. We give you thanks for your presence in our lives. Give us the courage that we too may follow in your way, not shying away from the difficulties of life or turning to you only in times of either great joy or deep desperation. We pray for all who are in need of your presence this week, for those of us who feel isolated and alone, for those of us who are struggling with health issues of whatever kind, for those of us who are grieving, for those of us who are nearing the end of our lives, for those of us who are on the margins of society, for those of us who are oppressed and whose lives are at risk. Holy God, we pray for your deep peace for a world in such need. We ask that you be with each and every one of us and help us to feel your presence. Guide us as we seek to follow you and bless all that we offer as we do. Bless the time, resources, and money we give as a way that we live into the call we have from you. Bless the ways we grow and change in our faith. Bless all these things that they will become sources of joy, not only for ourselves, but for others. And bless also the way ahead, that we may always know your joy beyond perceiving. And we continue praying, saying the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from pain. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able and sing, My Song is Love Unknown. because this is Palm Sunday and we've made our way through the Passion, we leave without a blessing because we wait with Christ. We wait for that spark of the new flame that rises in the darkness of the tomb. So as we leave, I invite you to go this week searching for that joy that is beyond perceiving. Amen.